Each and every Monday is $9 Monday at both wagertalk.com and sportsmemo.com, when all daily picks packages are priced at only $9, including 5% best bets normally priced at $35. As an added bonus, any picks packages loaded early for overnight Tuesday or action during the week will also be priced at $9 until midnight on Monday. So make sure to take advantage of getting these $25 and $35 picks for only $9 before the clock strikes 12 and they return to regular price.
Sorry about that, guys. A little bit mute, but we got a good show coming up for you. I am Drew Martin, at Drew Martin Betts on Twitter, joined by Steve Merrill and Tony Finn of WagerTalk.com. We got three games on the slate. We got best bets at the end. Yankees and Rangers, Phillies and Astros, Braves and Marlins, followed by best bets. So get into it here with just a couple games left of the regular season before the playoffs. First game up here, Yankees and Rangers, guys. Severino versus Perez, the lefty going for the Rangers. Total of 8. Steve, coming to you first here, we're seeing the Yankees minus 145 favorites on the road, can get plus 135 back with the Rangers. What are you liking Yankees and Rangers tonight?
So Aaron Judge, of course, is the big story here. Do you have to worry about, you know, is that a distraction to the team overall? I'm not going to try to guess if it is or not. I think obviously they're going out and playing hard still, but they don't have a lot to play for as far as playoff positioning goes. I think that's a concern. And not hitting the ball offensively well. They've had exactly one run in two of their last three games and four hits in each of those games that they lost against Baltimore this past weekend. They have 8 runs, 14 hits in between, of course, on Saturday. And you would have thought that would have been the game in which Aaron Judge got the record. In fact, it was exactly 61 years to the day, October 1st, 1961, that Roger Maris hit 61st. Aaron Judge was at bat against the Orioles at the exact same time on the same date on Saturday, October 1st. He did not get it done, though. I thought for sure it was going to happen then. I think it happens sometimes this week. Whether it happens tonight or not, we'll see. But there is a little bit of pressure, I think, on Judge and the Yankees right now because of that. And look, the Rangers aren't exactly a team I want to jump on board with here after losing 8 of their last, they've gone, I think, 8-1-8, 8 of their last 9 they've dropped now, and no offense either, single-digit hits in 8 of those 9 games. So trying to guess the side here, I think I'm going to look at the total in this one. I like under here between the Yankees and Rangers. We get under 8, probably a little bit of an inflated price due to Aaron Judge and the hype that he's surrounding, but both teams pretty cold offensively.
Tony, Aaron Judge had reached base every game of the month of September. Now we're in October 3rd. He's got a 30-game active on base streak. I think it almost speaks to the opposing pitchers, you know, not wanting to pitch to him and give up these home runs. So he's walking a lot. But, hey, I guess he's getting on base. What does it really matter, right? Like the movie Moneyball. Texas, 8-25 runs since, the 25th of August. The worst run in baseball. So the Rangers have really fallen off here, man. I don't know if I can get behind backing them. I was looking towards the Yankees. What are you feeling tonight?
Well, I couldn't back the Yankees here. I mean, I think we know a couple things about what the Yankees are doing. They're setting themselves up, positioning themselves with Severino goes tonight, for instance, and the starters. Who's going to pitch the first time the Yankees take the postseason field, which will be at Yankee Stadium. The last three games are Ken Judge, you know, get number 62. Listen, winning would be great. I just don't think it's a priority for the Yankees. Not that the Rangers have been overwhelmingly good. They've been overwhelmingly bad, which means, I guess, everything comes full circle, right? We'll have some positive regression, maybe. It's a pretty good spot, really. If you think about it, for the Rangers at home, underdog against your team, it's overvalued in this spot. They're overvalued all the time, particularly in this spot with Judge and the press he's getting. Kids haven't listen. He had a great season. And whether he hits the set number 62, 3, 4, whatever the case may be, it's been fun. I'm just watching everything transpire and all this come full circle. His mother with the family of a record that just gotten beat, or at least the son of a record that got tied, should I say. I like the Rangers tonight for a couple reasons. One, because of everything that's surrounding the Yankees, the distractions and such. And Perez is having a really good season, really a kind of a almost a career season in truth for the Rangers. He'll be pitching hard.
Tony, we got second game up coming to you first here. Interesting handicap, Philadelphia Phillies and Houston Astros. Aaron Nola versus Lance McCullers Jr. I guess we could say possible World Series matchup. The Phillies, one of only two teams left with playoff aspirations still on the line. Of course, it's the Phillies versus the Milwaukee Brewers for that last spot in the NL wild card here, guys. The Houston Astros, Tony, home field advantage clinched throughout the American League playoffs. What are you liking tonight in Houston? Phillies at the Astros, -115 price. Astros is the home favorite. Low total of 7, Tony.
I like a couple things here. Nola, first off, has dramatically, use the word you want to, improved his successes on the road. Over the years, Nola's always been, hey, get him at home, fade him on the road, kind of a pitcher. He's been better this year. He's growing. He's maturing. He was better this year with the swings and misses. His rotation was good. Velocity was good. He pitched well. The Phillies weren't very consistent offensively. And when you have a 213 guy leading off for you for most of the season, I'm surprised they are where they are. Although I believe they would be here late in August when we talked and talked and talked about who's going to be Milwaukee. Is it going to be Philly? Is it going to be San Diego? Philly's not going to win the division. Are they going to be part of it? It appears they are going to be a part of it. Magic number is 1. That's all you need to know about this game. Magic number is 1. You know you're going to get the best from Nola. McCullough's been really good since the return, guys. Really, really good. Hard to go against Houston. A team is going to be playing loose, relaxed, playing some of the, going to be resting a couple guys here and there over the next 3 days. And then again, positioning themselves for the playoffs as well, postseason bracket as well. I would be on Philly here. I'd be on Nola and Philly here if I was in this room. I'm not.
All right, Tony. Steve, coming to you next. Nola's actually only faced this Astros lineup one time, all the way back in 2017, 6 scoreless innings. Interesting note here, Steve. Philadelphia, for whatever reason, has not played in Houston since 2012. That was when the Astros were in the National League. Shows, schedule-wise, this is the last year, by the way, imbalanced scheduling. Next year, it won't be like that. They're changing it. But just some interesting notes here. Phillies not playing in this stadium in quite some time. Of course, the Astros with the home field advantage. Like, to Tony's point, the Phillies, lot to play for here. Magic number of 1. Are you liking anything Phillies and Astros tonight, Steve?
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it, that they haven't played down there? But, obviously the interleague games are kind of like, local rivalries like Baltimore, Philly, New York, that type of things, Washington, Baltimore. So it makes sense that I guess Philly wouldn't go down to Houston. But I do like the balanced schedule next year. The other leagues do it with 82 games. There's no reason the MLB can't do it with 162 games. And another rule, like next year, bigger bases, by the way. We haven't talked about that. That should increase scoring a little bit. I think that's the theory there, larger bases. And the one I disagree with, of course, is that there will be no shifts allowed. I think that's ridiculous. If you want to shift and put all your players in one field, these guys should hit the ball the other damn way. So that's what I thoroughly disagree with. But I'll get off my soapbox now. We'll handicap this game. I like the under here. Houston does not have much to play for. As you've said, they've locked everything up in the American League. They're not going to catch the Dodgers overall. And I think it's starting to show offensively. This team has had 3 runs or less in each of their past 3 games. They've had 7 hits or less in each of those 3 games. Phillies, meanwhile, occasionally can put up some offense. But if you look at the overall trend, they've gone under 4 their last 5 games. And they've had 5 runs or less in all 5, 4 runs or less in 4 of those 5. And they've had single-digit hits. 7 hits or less in 3 of their last 5 games. And 2 good pitchers on the mound tonight. And I think both lineups are going to falter a little bit here. The Astros lineup is hitting just 4 for 26, 154 against Nola during their career. Different players that have faced him before. And the Phillies' current lineup tonight is hitting just 6 for 35, 171 against McCullers during their career. So 2 pitchers that have owned the opposing hitters tonight, I think under is worth a look.
Steve, you bring up some of the rules changes, man. I'm with you. I like this balanced scheduling starting next year. It's also something we got to keep in mind as sports bettors. If you're looking to bet, you know, full season win totals, it's going to change next year because, you know, coming into this year, it mattered a lot what division you were in because you were playing those teams. Like an AL East schedule was a lot more difficult than, say, an AL Central schedule. It won't necessarily be of that much importance next year. You bring up the bases, what they're bigger. Are they having two bases on first base and then the shifts? Do you know how they're going to implement that?
Are they doing two first bases? Because that's the softball way, and we've been joking about that. Some people in the baseball circles that I talk about. I don't think they are, but I've had – it's funny you mentioned that, Drew, because I've had other friends of mine in the baseball community mention that to me, and it's a safety issue, obviously, as well. The big thing for the shift, I think, is ridiculous. Look, they shift because you look at these spray charts, right? And a guy hits the ball 1% of the time down third base as a left-handed hitter. They all shift to the right side. But that's because he's hit all those hits when they've been in the normal lineup. These guys are good enough, or at least they should be good enough, where they could punch the ball the opposite way, hit opposite field, or lay a damn bunt down the third baseline and walk to first. You know, so I think it's ridiculous that you tell guys where they have to play in the field. There's been a reason for 150 years that we've had two guys on each side of the infield and, you know, vice versa, because it works strategy-wise. If you want to mess with that, that's up to you. So I think it's really strange to me personally that they're telling players in the defense where they have to play all of a sudden, like there's numbered spots on a T-ball field or something.
I'm with you, Steve. And I always go back to Jazz Chisholm for the Marlins. I listened to him in an interview, Steve, and he talked about he used to get shifted on all the time. And then coming into this year, they stopped shifting on him because he did what you were talking about. And exactly. He said it actually took him an offseason to work on it. You know, it's almost like a skill in itself, hitting the ball the other way and being able to bunt it like that. So I don't think MLB should do that either, Rob Manfred, because guys giving him an offseason or two to kind of work on that skill, I think would be better for baseball. But, hey, I don't agree a lot with what Manfred's doing. Tony, any quick thoughts here before we move to the last game on the rules changes?
I think I couldn't agree more with Steve, with you, on shift changing. However, I don't agree with a lot of things, a lot of the rules, et cetera, et cetera. It still seems to me that the advertising, the marketing of Major League Baseball is strikeouts, home runs, and walks. Requiring someone to hit the other way means that they're going to have to start hitting. They'll hit less home runs. They may embarrass them. And there are a lot of things we could have a big show, a whole show, probably a week show on that alone. But I agree with you guys. I'm old school on baseball. I think that kind of thing would allow me to probably play some baseball, maybe some Pop Warner. You know, at my age, I could probably bunt the other way if they were going to shift on me and get on base. Maybe.
Guys in the chat box, let us know what you think. Cheshire Cat, no need to delete your text there. Robert S. in the house as well. He's saying Aaron Nola might be a little bit of a choke job there. I don't know about that one. Jessica in the house as well. Raven, Ron, shout out to you. Happy Monday out there to the chat box. If you're liking the content, please smash the like button as we head to our last game before Best Bets, the Braves and the Marlins. Heading to South Florida here, Steve. Looks like Elder going for the Braves, minus 150, minus 155 favorites. Lizardo, the lefty, going for the Fish. Total of 7, minus 150 here. The Braves as the road favorite. Are you liking anything in the fish tank tonight?
Well, first of all, you're Miami Marlins, Drew Martin. We can call them that again because they played pretty well this past weekend, right? Back-to-back wins at Milwaukee. And if there's ever been an example of why you don't blindly bet these must-win teams. And look, I've been talking about it for weeks here on the shows, right, with baseball. Like, teams aren't in must-win situations if they're good enough to win when they had to, like the Dodgers or the Astros, for example. And Milwaukee, substantial favorite at home all four games. They lose 3 out of 4 to your Miami Marlins. So it just shows, once again, tight teams don't necessarily play well. I don't know if the Mets were tight because obviously the Braves were actually a game back in that series, but the Braves sweep them. And you knew the Mets were in trouble when DeGrom and Scherzer don't get wins on Friday, Saturday. That was their best shot, obviously, at Atlanta. Atlanta gets the sweep last night on Sunday Night Baseball, 5-3. I don't think they're necessarily playing tight anymore because they just need one win here these last three games at Miami. But I'm not so sure this is a great spot for Atlanta tonight. Could be a little bit of a letdown spot. You know, now, there is a possibility they keep that momentum going. They see their eyes on the prize, the defending World Series champs. Maybe they stay focused. But I don't mind taking a shot with the Miami Marlins as a live home dog here, because once again, back-to-back wins and 3 out of 4 at Milwaukee. Obviously, they're still playing hard down the stretch. A little concern with the offense, though. They had 5 hits or less in 3 of those 4 games in Milwaukee, so a little bit misleading. It was more that the Brewers are just really slumping offensively. But Miami could be a live home dog here tonight. I also wonder, Drew, you know, returning to the state of Florida here after the hurricane and whatnot. I know Miami didn't get hit as hard as other parts, but still, you wonder if maybe the travel down here might be a little bit of distraction. And, of course, Atlanta in some of the same situation traveling after Sunday night baseball.
You know, Tony, we get Don Mattingly coaching his managing his last series here as well. He is the Marlins' all-time leader in terms of games managed, over 1,000 games, as well as victories, 441. It hasn't been the greatest tenure, but he's leading in the clubhouse for the Marlins. I remember that. What was that guy's name? Jack something. He was like an old fat guy that would smoke those cigars.
Jack McKeon?
Yeah. Yeah. That guy McKeon. Was on. I can't believe. Yeah. Don Mattingly passed him. Jack McKeon got the World Series too with Josh Beckett and everybody. Yeah. But hey, it is what it is. Not sure if that's part of your handicap here. And you agreeing with Steve, maybe the we got a live fish here at home.
Yeah. Yeah, listen, I'm a big Lizardo fan. I was a fan of his when he was in Oakland. I thought that trade it surprised me, to say the least. Lizardo was really started, you know, balls to the walls this year and was really good. Then he hit a stint where he had to rehab and recover from an injury. And when he came back, he acted like he hadn't missed a beat. You mentioned, Steve and Drew, if there was an Achilles for this Atlanta club this year, it was good quality right-handed pitchers that threw hard, that threw 97, 98 and above. They struggled. I thought the Mets had an advantage coming in. And they had DeGrom, as you mentioned, and Scherzer, two right-handed guys who can throw hard and get swings and misses. It didn't. Atlanta showed up. They, you know, Atlanta's been great against left-handed pitching. Here we go. Lizardo. Left-handed pitcher who his command is so much better than it was a year ago, 2 years ago, so much better. This kid's the real deal. He's going to be a good quality left-hander in this league for a long time, as long as he stays healthy. It's supposed to be a bad spot for the fish. I mean, not too many teams have the lineup that Atlanta has, especially against left-handed pitching. However, what they did against right-handed pitcher, I don't know. Is this the Atlanta team? Are they just going to continue to pound the ball? And left-handed pitching, are they going to beat the Dodgers again? Because listen, the Dodgers are going to probably have a 3-man left-handed rotation. I don't want to get too far ahead of me, but tonight, again, here we are, and I think Atlanta hits the ball well enough. Lizardo's in a spot where he's going to be loose and playing. But the way this is, it just seemed some kind of deja vu, guys, where I feel like here we are again, where Atlanta playing much better, catching a Braves team that had a 10.5 game lead. They kind of feel like they're, you know, that they are the world champions and they're going to be the world champions again until someone can beat them. I'll take the Braves to go ahead and clinch the division tonight.
All right, going for the Braves, going for their 5th consecutive NL East title here. The defending World Series champions as well. 3 games in the book. Sweet James Jones, Cheshire Cat in the house. Thanks for joining us live. Please smash that like button if you're liking the content. Steve Merrill, Tony Finn, check them out. WagerTalk.com, $9 Monday. All plays, all handicappers, discounted to just $9. Steve? Coming to you first, man. Best bet time. Final thoughts for the show. Whatever you're wanting to put out there, end of the regular season is getting close. Steve, where are you heading for best bets and final thoughts, man?
Yeah, going to look at a free baseball play for Monday night, a few days remaining in the regular season. But this is such a great time of the year to be a sports fan and a sports bettor, because October is actually the only month of the year in which you can get every major sport going at the same time. Now, I know there's a technicality. We might get some World Series games in November, but don't get smart on me, folks. You know what I'm talking about. October is the month, because we got baseball playoffs starting later this week. NHL starts later this week. NBA starts next week. College and pro football in full swing. We are crushing it in all sports. I'm going to keep it going this week. I've got a Monday Night Football best bet plus 2 MLB best bets, all for $9 Monday right now. $9 Monday, Steve Merrill, wagertalk.com. Free baseball play for Monday evening. A game that is just a bit outside from making the cut. Goes at 6:40 Eastern, an early start in the National League. two teams that have absolutely nothing to play for, the Chicago Cubs and the Cincinnati Reds. 39 games below 500 for the Reds, 13 games below 500 for the Cubs. And as is often the case with teams that have not played well this year, it's normally because they don't hit the ball well. Cubs, a pretty bad offensive team this year on the road, betting just 229, four runs a game. Reds have been a little bit better at home this season, but I'm not going to read too much into that because they're in terrible current form right now. This team has lost 9 of their last 10, and they cannot score. In fact, they have scored 3 runs or less in each of those past 10 games. In fact, they've scored 1 run or less in half of them, including 3 straight games this weekend in which they put up just 1 run at Chicago against these Cubs. Now they flip and they go back to Cincinnati. I don't think anything changes here. Look for a low-scoring offensive game tonight. This total's around 7.5. Did open as high as 8, but 7.5 still a nice number because 7 is the key number that we want to stay above. Cubs and Reds under 7.5 runs goes at 6:40 Eastern tonight on Monday. Don't forget, 3 games are even stronger. 2 baseball best bets plus Monday Night Football Rams 49ers on my page right now for $9 Monday. Steve Merrill, wagertalk.com.
Guys, for my best bet, I am going to a strikeout prop. Down the end of the season here, I think we can take advantage of some situations happening with some playoff teams in kind of slating their starting pitching for the playoffs. And I think we actually get that with the Cleveland Guardians tonight. Tristan McKenzie, good pitcher overall. If you've seen him pitch, you know he's tall, lanky, comes at their opposing hitters. But the thing is, he's slated to start game 2 of the AL wildcard series on Saturday in Cleveland. I'm looking at a strikeout prop here, guys. It's 6.5. In normal situations, I wouldn't be betting it to the under. But I'm reading here he's going to be limited to 75, 80 pitches on the night. I mean, to get 7 strikeouts with that, I think we're kind of an advantage angle here. Actually betting his strikeout prop to the under. Cleveland Guardians, Tristan McKenzie, the starting pitcher, under 6.5 strikeouts for my best bet. Due to the pitch limit here going into the playoffs, under 6.5, I just bet it at minus 130. So under 6.5 strikeouts for Tristan McKenzie, minus 130, my best bet. Throw it over to Tony Finn here for his best bet. Final thoughts on the show. Tony, also a reminder, you sent me a note here. Irish John and his girlfriend or wife, you wanted to give him a special shout out here, VIP listeners. Go ahead, buddy.
I didn't. I wanted you to do that. The other day when I sent that note to you. No, it was their anniversary. I'd heard from Miss Clark, and she'd mentioned, hey, this is my husband, Irish John, and our anniversary. I'm more than happy to wish him happy anniversary. Many more to come, hopefully. Long live the Clarks, the Irish Clarks. So I hope everything was good on the anniversary. That's all I got on that, unless you want to throw something in. I mean,
No, happy anniversary as well.
Words of advice. Listen, I agree with Steve on this a little bit on the Cubs and the Reds. Save a couple things. I like this Cincinnati team that is struggling. I don't have to spill it out. Steve did that. He said, I think they scored 1 run apiece in their last 3 losses in Wrigley against the Cubs. This is a young team that, you know, this is a young team that really learned a lot about themselves since August. It's a team that started, if you remember, 3-22. They played pretty well. They played pretty good baseball, 500 ball for most of the season until the mid-August when the trade deadline was done. They lost some players, and it makes sense they struggled. You know, they didn't have guys that had been regulars, Tyler Stevenson, Brandon Drury, Pham, those kind of guys. Absent now, the young guys coming in. I like them series. I like the series here for a couple reasons. One, there's only been one other red teams that lost more than 100 games. There's a chance this team could lose 101, right? If they lost all 3, they win 2 of these games, they lose 99. And a lot of people say it doesn't mean anything. These kids don't realize that they're just playing. They do realize that. Listen, the Reds have a long history. They're a traditional. They're a tradition rich baseball team, and have had some really, really good red machines, right? For people who aren't scoreboard watching, I mean, this is one of those games that doesn't mean much to most, but it means a lot to the Reds, means a lot to the Cubs. It means they're playing for spots. And Hunter Green, who's pitching tonight, has been really, really good since he came back from the IL, the injury list. And his last 2 of the last 3 games have been double-digit strikeouts. One of them was against the Cubs. young kids that didn't score any runs since Cubs guys in his last three games. There's something about, and I don't, I'm not going to throw out evidence, concrete evidence, but I know this, and that is when you've seen these pitchers, and it looks like basically you're going to see much of the same pitching rotation, some of the relievers, et cetera, these kids that only scored one run for the Reds. It's almost like you get to play them every day. And coming back in Cincinnati at Great American, where they've been better than they have been on the road, obviously, and we've talked about that this year, they get these same pitchers. It's going to be a different situation. Pitchers, the three pitchers the Cubs are throwing, three pitchers that the Reds are throwing, it's going to be fun to watch for me because I'm excited about these kids that are going to be pitching. But I like the Reds to win 2 out of 3 here at minus 115. Serious play on the Reds, minus 115.
Tony Finn at Finn at Wager Talk on Twitter. Guys, that does it for the show. Tony Finn, Steve Merrill, check them both out at wagertalk.com as we recap the best bets here. Tristan McKenzie under 6.5 strikeouts, minus 130 for my best bet. Merrill on the Cubs and Reds under 7.5. Tony Finn, wow, the Reds to win the World Series, man. That is a heck of a bet there from Tony Finn. All right. Guys, that does it for the show. Steve Merrill, Tony Finn, I am Drew Martin. Please smash that like button. Feel free to comment below. Jessica in the chat box, rookie sports bettor here, learning lots from this channel. Great insight. Having lots of fun so far. Well, welcome in, Jessica. Feel free to comment anytime. All the questions are more than welcome. And thanks for tuning in. Please smash that like button, guys. Best of luck this Monday. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Come back and join us.
Each and every Monday is $9 Monday at both wagertalk.com and sportsmemo.com. When all daily picks packages are priced at only $9, including 5% best bets, normally priced at $35. As an added bonus, any picks packages loaded early for overnight Tuesday or action during the week will also be priced at $9 until midnight on Monday. So make sure to take advantage of getting these $25 and $35 picks for only $9 before the clock strikes 12 and they return to regular price.